ask, Father, that you will bless this family, bless these friends, that you'll give them a peace and a joy that only you can give them. I do ask that you will anoint this tongue of flesh, these lips of clay. Let every word that comes forth today be a word of encouragement and hope, not only for the family, but for everyone. We ask in your holy name, and we give you the praise and the honor. Amen. Frank Eugene Weigel, 82, of Sand Springs, Oklahoma, passed away on October the 26th, 2025. He was born on May 1st, 1943, in Butler, Pennsylvania, in the little farmhouse his parents, Roy and Elsie, built. Frank grew up in Butler and graduated from high school there before attending Tri-State University in Angola, Indiana, where he earned a degree in mechanical engineering. A hardworking, to say the least, and dedicated man, Frank spent 34 years in the steel industry, melting steel into rebar, managing smelting furnaces, and designing rolling mill systems. He began his career with Armco Steel, which later transferred him to Sand Springs, Oklahoma, to manage Sheffield Steel's melting furnace. It was there that he met the love of his life, Carol, even though some of you call her Susie. I cannot do that. You're always going to be Carol. And together they built a beautiful life and raised four children, John, Jed, Sarah, and Leah. Following his retirement from Sheffield Steel, Frank began a new chapter working for the city of Sand Springs, where he continued to pour his energy and work ethic into serving his community. Frank was a Mason, a lifelong NASCAR fan, and a loyal Pittsburgh Steelers supporter. Though not a golfer himself, he loved supporting his children in their golfing endeavors and cheered them on from the sidelines. He also took great pride in supporting his sons, John and Jed, in their sports, educational, and life pursuits. He will be remembered for his generosity, his willingness to help anyone who needed it, his sense of humor, and his encouragement for others to pursue what brought them joy. Frank had a deep appreciation for life's simple pleasures. Hot dogs, he loved. Hamburgers, he loved. Popcorn, root beer, and eggs. Especially a well-cooked burger shared with family. He loved the Burger Hut in his hometown. His favorite movies were Day of Thunder and Scent of a Woman. Frank is survived by his loving wife of 43 years, Carol, their four children, John, Jed, Sarah, and Leah, daughters-in-law, Carla and Cassie, two grandchildren, Cole and Brooklyn, his sister Janet, sister-in-law Judy, one nephew, Tom Swift, and two nieces, Sue and Carol. He was preceded in death by his parents, Roy and Elsie, and his brother Jim. Those who knew Frank will remember his steady presence, his kindness, and his genuine heart. He leaves behind a legacy of hard work, of love, and laughter that will continue to inspire everyone who knew him. The interment today will be in Woodland Memorial Cemetery. The family has prepared a slideshow that they would like for you all to see. So we're going to play that at this time. Thank you. Beautifully done. Can you imagine playing football in those uniforms he had on? No way. Now we have the city manager for the city of Sand Springs, Mike Carter, that is coming to speak.
Thank you. I'm sad that we find ourselves here today, but I'm honored to speak about Frank Weigel. One of my favorite quotes is from Robert F. Kennedy, who said, "The purpose of life is to contribute in some way to making things better." Frank did that every day. To say Frank was special to us at the city of Sand Springs is an understatement. Frank was first and foremost a good human being. He carried with him a special charisma that endeared himself not only to coworkers, but almost to everyone he encountered. He could not get people to come to his way of thinking without much effort, and he used this skill to position the city in the best possible ways. When discussing issues with him, I will always recall the gentle way he would respond about a topic by saying, "Well, yeah, you know, but," before he would explain the issue thoroughly in a manner that made everyone confident that he had the answer in his back pocket. He didn't have to act angry about something. He just had to explain it properly and long enough so you understood why he was correct. Much of Frank's success was derived from his attention to detail. John Foster Dulles said, "A man's accomplishments in life are the cumulative effect of his attention to detail." Frank has had an amazing attention to detail. He was an expert. He knew the answers. He was thoughtful and innovative. Frank concentrated on matters that most might consider mundane, but that's why he was so successful. He cared about issues so others could afford not to be bothered by them. Frank was very intentional about how he cared for the systems under his control. Frank loved showing people the raw water system that he managed. He understood engineering from the 1920s, like our Shell Creek Dam. He managed our bridge inspections and other major public works facilities. While most people managing projects like those in other parts of the world would wait until things break and then respond to it, Frank took pride in scheduling maintenance that would occur before that part could fail. Reliability was his trademark. Frank was not only book smart, but he had common sense. Frank took a pragmatic approach to solving problems while mixing in a level of humor to make it fun. The author Clive James said common sense and a sense of humor are the same thing, moving at different speeds. A sense of humor is just common sense dancing, and man, could Frank dance. I remember when we were discussing his management of the Compass landfill and how people used to trespass on the property that we needed them to stay off of. Frank said to me, "Well, yeah, you know, people just need to be given the right hint." He then showed me a warning sign he had created and put up that had skull and crossbones on it, and he mentioned death and added, "That did the trick." His sense of humor was infectious, and you could not help but laugh when he threw in a subtle zinger in the middle of a complicated explanation that he was giving. During his time with our public works department, he was known to never get too upset. When we had a major break in a raw water line, he told Derek Campbell, our public works director, "Well, yeah, you know, let's learn to fix this one." Frank brought his personal interest with him to work. He was an avid NASCAR fan. One of his coworkers observed that when he drove a city car, he set the seat straight up NASCAR style. It was assumed that if we would have let him, he would have painted a big number 12 on the side of his city car. David Weatherford, our city attorney, related a story to me that when Frank was in high school, he played football against Joe Namath, and they sat together at a football banquet. I'm happy for Joe Namath that he was able to meet such a legend. Frank loved Oklahoma and Sand Springs, but you could also tell by the way he talked at times that he had a special love for Pennsylvania. He talked about his family farm, the people, and the weather. It was his happy place, and he loved to talk about it. I was telling him about a trip to Pittsburgh I'd made and wanted him to see photos of the Duquesne Incline that I'd taken. Before I could get my phone out, he lit up and explained all the engineering behind the trolley and the history of how they used it. It was like being on an episode of the History Channel's How Things Are Made. Frank spent a few years working in his hometown before spending 34 years working in the steel industry. He retired from the steel plant after a distinguished career and then started a second career with the city of Sand Springs for almost 25 years. What a wonderful achievement. 61 years of dedicated work. I heard that he thought about staying with the city for another 10 years, but I do know that he was soon to retire to be able to spend more time with his loving wife and family. Above all, Frank loved his family. Desmond Tutu once said, "You don't choose your family. They're God's gift to you as you are to them." I know that this sentiment was especially true in the Weigel family. On behalf of the city of Sand Springs, our city council, our employees, and our citizens, I want to thank Carol, John, Jed, Sarah, and Leah, and all of the Weigel family for sharing Frank with us. We will always be in his debt, and likewise in yours, for your generosity and allow him to continue with us for so many years. Thank you.
That was some wonderful words for a man who deserved it. As I was sitting with the family talking and we were discussing today's service, all the kids, well, in fact, even Carol, had said, "Yeah, I'd like to say something." Well, you don't see any of them up here. They all decided not to, but Leah did write a letter, and she actually wrote a letter to her father and asked me to read it, and I'm going to try to do it justice. It's a wonderful letter. So I'm going to read this letter that Leah wrote. She said, "I want to thank everyone for coming today to celebrate my dad's life. I think we can all agree he was Frank-tastic." I think so. "I'd like to extend my sincere gratitude to the City of Sand Springs employees as well as co-workers from Sheffield Steel. My dad truly found joy, purpose, and fulfillment in being part of these communities. It meant so much to him to serve alongside and inspire such dedicated people. Now the good stuff. standing up here today, even though she's not, but that's close enough, is not something I feel especially strong or prepared for. Many of you know the unique and special bond my dad and I shared. He wasn't just my father. He was my caddy on tour, my teacher, my role model, and above all, my best friend. We shared so much. The same sense of humor, work ethic, unique personality, and way of looking at the world. He'd made me understand being unique wasn't something to worry about, but something to embrace. So instead of simply speaking about him, I decided to do what feels most natural to me. I wrote a letter to him. Communicating to my dad has always been easy and comforting, and I'd like to share that with all of you today. It's a glimpse into the bond we shared one last time for those who might not have seen it before. Here we go. Hey there, Dad. Pop, Pepperoni, Piddles, Frankie Downtown. You're looking so sharp today. I can already hear you saying, yeah, man, I'm cool. With that signature swagger and chuckle. That Italian suit, top notch. Excellent choice, as always. I'll keep this short and to the point. But I need you to know, saying I'm going to miss you just doesn't hack it, as you'd say. I'll miss our deep conversations, our shared love of learning, and those quiet moments where wisdom just flowed between us. That secret handshake we had on the golf course was something special, a performance we both knew by heart. But it's the signature wing bump I'll miss the most. I got no idea what that was. I feel you around me all the time, Dad. I see you in small details every day, in John, in Jed, and in Sarah. The compassion and support they have given me is similar to what I received from you. And that dusty smiley face you drew on my Mustang, I love it. I'm glad you redid it. It makes me smile every day. Thank you for the opportunities you created for me and my siblings. I am who I am because of you and Mom. I'm forever grateful for the lessons I learned just by watching you live. Your perseverance, your integrity, your dedication, and generosity. Those qualities are unmatched. And they're a model for how I want to live my life. You once told me that my name and my word were all I truly had, and that I should make sure what I said I followed through on. I've carried that advice with me, and I'm pretty sure the people at my office can vouch for how seriously I've taken it. The air feels heavy, and the space you filled in my life is now a vast void. But don't worry, I know you never did. You always told me you didn't have to worry about me, and I know that still holds true. I'll keep my promise and stay away from heavy power tools, like saws, that I'm unqualified to run. I'll ask John and Jed. One day at a time, 1 hour, 1 minute, one step. That's how we'll keep going, I promise. I'll also honor your request and make sure Mom is okay. In fact, I'm starting right now because I know she needs to hear this, and I want to help you out by letting her know how you feel. I know you, Dad, and I know this is exactly what you'd express in this challenging moment. All right, Mom. Here we go. This is a well-known poet, E.E. Cummings, who wrote a beautiful poem that I dedicate to you because I know this is how Dad feels. He was proud of you and wanted people to know. And here's the poem. I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. I am never without it. Anywhere I go, my dear, you go. And whatever is done by me, only me, is your doing, my darling. I fear no fate, for you are my fate, my sweet. I want no world, for beautiful are you, my world, my true. And it's you are whatever a moon has always meant, and whatever a sun will always sing is you. Here is my deepest secret nobody knows. And here is the root of the root, and the bud of the bud, and the sky of a tree called life, which grows higher than soul can hope or mind can hide. And this is the wonder that's keeping the stars apart. I carry your heart. I carry it in my heart. Thank you for being you, Dad. I love you. Leah Ace. Beautiful letter. Beautiful. And Carol, that's, I'm sure, how Frank felt. You were his everything. I didn't know Frank Weigel. Sorry. I had met him and talked with him a couple of times. And our sons, Jed, and our son, Jeremy, played football at Charles Page for a year together a few years ago. And I come to thinking about that, wasn't that about 30 years ago, Jed? Man, you're getting old. And at that time, Frank was the president of the quarterback club. So I did have some interaction with him then, but I did not know Frank, not like many of you know him. But in talking with the family, I did come to realize that Frank had the mind of an engineer and the heart of a caregiver. He was always piddling with something, hence the nickname Piddles. One of his favorite phrases was, I can fix that. And if you went to his house today, you might think he was somewhat of a hoarder. He said, yeah, I'll get to it eventually, and probably would have, but he loved fixing things, and he was good at it. In his heart, Frank lived by the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He wanted everyone to be on a level playing field, no matter who you were. Didn't matter who you were, where you were in life, what job you may have, it didn't matter to him. He wanted you to be on a level playing field with him, and he wanted the very best for you. So today I want to focus on the last paragraph in Frank's obituary, the traits of that paragraph. And this is what it read. Those who knew Frank will remember his steady presence, his kindness, and his genuine heart. He leaves behind a legacy of hard work, of love, and laughter that will continue to inspire everyone who knew him. When you think about steady presence, this is what the city of Sand Springs posted. And Mike, I was afraid you was going to read it, but you didn't, so I get to. This is what they posted. Frank Weigel went to work for the city of Sand Springs in April 2001. He was in charge of the raw water system, constantly driven to bring the highest quality water to our citizens. He was not only known for his meticulous attention to detail, but for his infectious sense of humor. Frank was able to provide exceptional knowledge and wisdom from that engineering mind to any and all situations, and yet temper that with a laugh when necessary. He was a great communicator, but he could mess with your mind a little bit, as Mike alluded to. But that allowed him to keep the steady presence needed to solve any problem. And honestly, Frank thought he could solve it. If it was a problem and you needed help, Frank thought that he could solve that problem. And for the most part, he did. As far as kindness, Frank was always willing to help family, friends, strangers. It didn't matter. It didn't matter who you were. Frank just wanted the best for everyone. Everybody else came first. He always put other people's needs in front of his own. And that's quite a statement to make in today's world for an individual to always look out instead of inward. We today in this world so much look inward, and Frank always looked outward. He wanted the best for everybody. He wanted everybody to be on a level playing field, and he wanted to make sure that whatever anyone was facing, he would help. He had the kindness of a caretaker. As far as a genuine heart, Frank was totally genuine. What you saw was what you got, except for maybe Sarah and Leah's boyfriends. They may not agree with this. The family was telling me he wasn't always the nicest to Sarah and Leah's boyfriends. But, you know, the relationship between a father and daughters is very, very special. No one is good enough for his daughters. Not so with the boys, with John and Jed. Frank absolutely loves his daughter-in-laws, Carla and Cassie. They were perfect mates, according to Frank, for John and Jed. And so when he loved his family, he loved his family. There was nothing short of murder that he would not love you for. Now, he would probably have loved you then. He wouldn't have been happy, but he would have loved you then. He loved his family. He loved his work. He loved his people that he worked with, the employees he worked with at the city of Sand Springs. My goodness, he was, as Mike said, so particular about his job and doing the greatest job that he could to make the city of Sand Springs succeed. Same way with the steel mill. And he worked so hard down there trying to provide the solutions necessary to make that steel mill a going concern. And he worked very, very hard at it. He was a lover of life. As far as hard work, in talking with the family, one subject seemed to always come up in the front of the conversation. Hard work. Not just work, hard work. Frank was a compulsive worker. He worked all the time, whether it be at his job or whether it be at home. He was always working. And he combined his work ethic into three phrases. And they are, there are things you can do, there are things you should do, and then there are things you must do. And that's the way he ruled his work life. He saw things that he could do, he saw things that he should do, but he always did the things that he must do. These work ethics was what Frank lived by and now has passed on to his children. In talking to them, that's exactly what they're doing. So we got four Franks sitting right here, which is outstanding. He was big on routine, whether he was working at home, he had a way of doing it. As Mike said, well, yeah, but let me show you my way. And he was big on routine, but he never complained about anything. Never. He just always went and had a way of communicating with you to get his point across. As I said earlier, one of his favorite phrases was, I can fix that. And for the most part, he was correct. He could fix just about anything, a trait that he passed down to John and Jed. And according to the girls, John and Jed can fix anything. Don't ever let them know that you can't. They can do anything. They are their father made over, which is awesome. I can't fix anything. He could fix just about anything as long as you kept him on task. At home, he did have the tendency to see other projects that also needed fixing, and he started to work on them. So sometimes the girls had to go out and say, Dad, I thought you was going to work on this. Oh, yeah, I'm getting to that. And then he would kind of move back over to another one. Dad, you were working. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. So as long as you kept him on task, he could get it done. Frank grew up in the small town of Butler, Pennsylvania, and hard work was a major part of his life. Can you imagine being born into the farmhouse your mom and dad built? Wow, what a time. And that trait of hard work has carried with him through all phases of his life, his schooling, and his work career. When Frank worked for the steel mill here in Sand Springs, he was supervisor of the rolling mill. One night while he was home with his family, he got a call from the mill that they were having a problem. So what did Frank do? Well, first thing he did was he loaded up the boys into the car, and he went to the mill. He got to the mill. He told the boys, you stay in the car. And I'm going to believe you probably stayed in the car. He said, go back to sleep. And he spent the rest of the night working, which that probably wouldn't be a good thing today. Someone might be looking at those kids in the car going, whose car is this? But that's what he did. That's what he knew to do, was to go solve the problem and yet take care of his family. So he was able to combine the two, his love of work and his love of family. And as far as his love goes, Frank was a very stoic guy, but inside, he was a teddy bear. He loved his family. He loved his friends. He loved his work families. He just loved life. He was a gentleman's gentleman, always opening car doors, house doors, making sure everyone had everything they needed, not just for his family, but anyone he came in contact with. Frank's love for his family was undeniable. He showed his love for his wife, Carol, by always opening doors for her, always walking on the traffic side of her, which some of you young guys may not know about that, but that's the thing. Us old guys, we do that because we love who we're with. We don't want them to get hit by a wild car. He always provided everything she needed. He provided everything his children needed and most of what they wanted. He was always involved in their children's events, acting as Leah's caddy in golf tournaments, and being present every time they performed. I think I'm losing all my papers here, aren't I? That's all right. We don't care. No. He loved his extended family, spending as much time as he could with them in Pennsylvania on the family farm, helping with repairs, spending time with Jim, his brother, until he passed away, and their families. Frank was a family man. He just loved his family. And family here today, don't ever forget that. He loved you all, each and every one of you. And as far as laughter, Frank was a man that could fix anything. He could take care of any problem. He could provide for his family, love everyone, and be a great employee. But he was not great at backing cars. He had a few problems backing cars. Leah told us of a time that she and Frank went to a golf tournament. He wanted to get something to eat before the tournament, so they stopped to get a hamburger, which was Frank's favorite. And Frank loved ice cream. So after the burger, he decided they needed an ice cream cone. He and Leah both got a cone overflowing with ice cream and were getting ready to go to the golf course. So Frank started the car, started to back up, back directly into a pole. Well, the ice cream went from here to here. And Frank was covered with it, and Leah was doing everything she could not to die laughing, but it didn't work. And, of course, he was Not too happy. We'll say upset, not too happy. Now, one could probably write that up to an accident, except Sarah told us of a time that he backed the car up in their yard directly into, was that another car or a tree? Another car? Yeah, he backed it into another car. He came in the house and he was mad as a wet hen. In fact, some unkind words flowed from his mouth like water. So Sarah had to go into her bedroom to keep from laughing. It took him a while to get over that one. Frank was quite the man, a loving husband, a loving father, a loving friend, an outstanding employee who always put others first. Some say at 82 years old that Frank had lived a wonderful, full life. And they would be correct. But he still left this world too soon. The Bible tells us in James 4 and 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanished away. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Frank wasn't guaranteed tomorrow. But he still left this world too soon. I think he had much more to offer. But we don't have control over that, and Frank didn't have control over that. We can't take anything with us when we leave this world, so we need to make every second of our time on this earth count. And that's what Frank did. He saw that time in love for his family, love for his friends, and in his working. He did everything he could to make this world a better place. The Bible tells us this in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest. We all have a season of life. Frank's season is complete. We don't know why God took Frank when he did, but we don't know what pitfalls could have been ahead of Frank. Isaiah 57, 1 and 2 says this, good people pass away. The godly often die before their time. But no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die. So we don't know. We don't know what might have been in front of Frank. Could have been a terrible disease, could have been whatever, didn't matter. God saw the time to take him, and he took him then. So now, how do we carry on? Well, for the friends, you got to remember the good times that you had with Frank. Remember everything he did for the good, and keep those memories in your heart. Take what he has taught you and use it for the betterment of the world. For family, remember the love that Frank had for each and every one of you. Remember everything he taught you. Remember those times that it was just you and Frank and how special those times were. Spend more times with your loved ones, either in person, FaceTime, text, or God forbid, even a phone call or a letter, which is still okay. Time is short, and we need each other to make this world a better place. That's what Frank would have wanted. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time of remembering what a wonderful individual Frank Weigel was. And we ask, Father, that you will bless this family, that you will give them a time of peace. We know, Father, that a time of mourning is really good. We understand that. But, Father, let your peace and your joy become their friend. Let them remember what a wonderful man Frank was. Let them remember all the good times that they had. And let those memories be at the forefront of everything that they do. Continue to direct them and guide them in the way that Frank has taught them. Give them a peace that only you can, And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor in the holy name of Jesus.